The following article appears in the Fall 2012 Journal of Ocular Prosthetics, the official journal of the American Society of Ocularists. A three-dimensional model for teaching patients about eye loss and prosthesis wear. By Michael O. Hughes, board-certified ocularist, Artificial Eye Clinic of Washington, D.C., in Vienna, Virginia. Abstract. Patients who lose an eye often need information, direction, and words of encouragement. Frequently, ocularists are called upon to provide this support and education. Presented here is a teaching model useful for conveying the broad concepts of surgical eye removal and prosthetic reconstruction. The article provides historical context for the construction of detailed anatomical models, including eye models, and their use in teaching. The construction of this present-day teaching model from materials readily available in the ocularist's office is described step by step. Ocularists and other eye care providers can replicate this model or contact the author for more information. Introduction. The study of eye anatomy is a cornerstone of ophthalmic education. It is also an important asset to the ocularist, as anatomical knowledge is important for teaching patients about eye disease and care. This knowledge also helps ocularists create more natural-looking prostheses and can aid communication among ocularists, surgeons, and patients for the patient's ultimate benefit. Various teaching models of the human eye are commercially available for eye care providers. These models show the eye's internal and ancillary structures and the extrinsic eye muscles. However, virtually no useful commercial models exist for instructing patients about eye loss or how prosthetic eyes are made and used. Some ocularists use modified commercial models, including promotional models from pharmaceutical companies, to address their patients' questions. These models are not ideal because they do not illustrate enucleation or evisceration, or demonstrate for patients how an ocular implant and prosthesis work together. They also do not allow a patient to practice handling and caring for a prosthesis. This article describes the development of a model that addresses all the issues above, is aesthetically pleasing, reflects the high quality of the ocularist's work, and is easy to display, store, and transport. Other healthcare providers, including ophthalmologists, could use this model as a teaching tool. The model is placed in the historical context of anatomical teaching models in general and eye models in particular. While most of these models were used to teach medical students, some antique models were also exhibited for entertainment or public health value. A brief history of anatomical models. In medical education, models of human gross anatomy were first made after about 1500. They were made of wood, papier-mâché, plaster, and wax, as well as precious materials such as ivory. Such models were essential for studying structures difficult to appreciate in gross dissection because of their minuteness, especially to the unaided human eye. With cadavers difficult to acquire and preserve, models became important to students and practitioners of anatomy. The model makers aimed to reproduce the human body in a form as complete and true to nature as possible. In some ways, these models were better educational tools than real bodies because specific anatomical structures and systems could be highlighted and, of course, unlike cadavers, they did not decompose. Wax anatomical models are probably the most striking examples of artificial anatomy. The art of wax modeling reached its height in popularity in Bologna and Florence in the late 1700s with the work of anatomical artists such as Clemente Susini and Anna Morandi Manzolina. Creating models was highly labor-intensive, and many cadavers were needed. Artists made plaster casts of dissected anatomical specimens, and the casts were then used to produce wax copies. Structures such as membranes were either painted or reproduced with thread. The complete model was normally assembled by a team, a modeler who sculpted the figure, and an anatomist, or surgeon. Usually, 4 to 5 separate models were necessary to display the body's more complex regions, such as the head or eye. Models were varnished to protect them from dust and create the illusion of living tissue. Many of them, especially models of women, also had allegorical or symbolic meaning. Some of these models were so beautiful that they were not just used for education, but also sought by private collectors and museums. In the 1800s, moulages, that is, wax models showing injuries or pathological changes in the body, were often exhibited in traveling shows across Europe. Part entertainment, part public health education, they often featured the effects of sexually transmitted diseases, acting as a warning about their dangers. Model eyes. While the term artificial eye generally refers to human prosthetic eyes, it can also be applied to eye models used in medical training. Models were designed to teach students the anatomy and physiology of the eye, how to recognize diseases, and how to use an ophthalmoscope, which is an instrument used to view the interior of the eye. Model eyes used for ophthalmoscopy training became popular after the 1850s. By simulating a range of abnormalities, these models helped students recognize glaucoma and other diseases. Students also learned and practiced eye surgery on fresh pig's eyes mounted in the eye sockets of models of the human face. Models provided an alternative to dissections of the human body and were especially useful when cultural or legal restrictions made cadavers difficult to source. Again, health risks and problems with decomposition were also avoided. Early anatomical eye models were made from ivory, glass, wood, and wax. In the 19th century, French physician Louis-Thomas Jérôme Azou popularized the use of papier-mâché models. Made from a mixture of chopped paper and glue, cheap and durable with removable parts, Azou's dissectable models were perfect for handling. They were used by universities, hospitals, and schools worldwide. According to Dr. Richard Hicks, director of the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia, antique papier-mâché anatomical models were designed for teaching. They were often larger than life size and could be taken apart in sections. These allowed a professor to lecture on anatomy while an assistant displayed sections of the model to illustrate the talk. However, even the highest quality 18th and 19th century anatomical models had inadequacies. As French chemist Jean-Nicolas Ganal wrote in 1838, these three means to convey science, that is, plates, wax models, and artificial anatomy, have their level of usefulness, but they could never bear comparison with the specific matter of organs. They could be useful to enrich a museum, but never form it. More recently, the uses of medical models have expanded to include patient education. For ocularistry, education is essential to the complete rehabilitation of someone who has lost an eye. Understanding how an artificial eye is made and how it works is empowering, giving patients a sense of confidence about wearing and handling a prosthetic eye. In addition, the more informed patients and families are, the more realistic their expectations for wearing prosthetic eyes. The steps involved in making an eye model. There are many issues to consider when setting out to create an eye model for patient education. First, the model should be educational and easy for patients to handle. Such a model can help patients come to terms with the challenge of eye loss and prosthetic restoration. Many patients do not understand or remember the details of their own eye loss, implant, or prosthetic eye because they were very young when they lost the eye, years have passed since the loss, or if they have avoided learning or thinking about the unpleasant details. In addition, ophthalmologists rarely educate patients about prosthetic eyes. Ocularists play important roles in teaching patients to understand and use prosthetic eyes and accept eye loss. Like other materials associated with the ocularist's office, such as brochures, letterhead, and website, educational aids reflect on the ocularist's professional credibility and quality of work. In fact, the quality and beauty of the model's components should give patients a good idea of the artistry the ocularist will employ in making and finishing the artificial eye. In addition, the model should be attractive and well constructed. With this in mind, cherry wood was selected for the base of this teaching model for its intrinsic beauty, durability, and attractive finish. The density of this wood also made it a good choice for the precise turning required to finish the spheres representing the eye and the implant. The model of the anatomical eye was created as a two-piece cherry wood sphere, less than a quarter inch thick. It represents the sclera, or outer covering of the globe. The model sclera can be removed to show the vitreous gel inside the globe. As with antique eye models, simplicity was preferred to strict realism for instructional purposes. So the vitreous is represented by a solid ball of hand-blown glass 5 inches in diameter. Clear glass was chosen because the vitreous gel of the human eye is clear. The glass ball fits perfectly into the hollow cherry wood scleral model. The model also includes a second turned wood sphere that represents the ocular implant. This sphere was made intentionally smaller than the first to reflect the implant's smaller size compared to the natural eye. Typically, an ocular implant restores 70% of the human eye's volume, with the prosthetic eye restoring the remaining 30%. Since anatomical models and prosthetic eyes are both made of plastic today, polymethylmethacrylate, or PMMA, was used to make the prosthetic eye represented in this model. A large dental bronze flask was used for investment and heat curing of the plastic. The anatomy of the anterior eye and the wooden eye were suggested using dry pigments, lacquers, and oils. The thickness of the PMMA used in the prosthetic eye was designed to create the illusion of iris depth, simulating the pupillary opening and allowing enough room to countersink two small magnets at the back of the prosthetic eye. These magnets allow seamless placement, creating the impression that the eye floats on the ocular implant. Texture was stippled under the surface of the implant to represent the porous nature of an implant made from MedPore biomaterial from Stryker Corporation of Noonan, Georgia, or bio-eye material from Integrated Orbital Implants in San Diego. Two dowels, each 2 inches in diameter, were positioned on the cherry wood base to allow easy removal and replacement of the eye and implant prosthesis parts of the model during demonstrations. At the rear of the model's horizontal base, two grooves were cut to hold a clear plastic literature rack. This rack holds laminated diagrams that illustrate eye anatomy, removal, and restoration with an implant and prosthesis. Diagrams also depict patients wearing prostheses to illustrate that not every restoration appears perfect. The model is designed for patient education, not sales purposes. Ocularists do not always know precisely what surgical procedure or implant the eye surgeon used, so these diagrams illustrate broad concepts in eye removal. Great attention was paid to depicting the prosthetic eye anatomy, whereas the diagram accompanying the left model shows only basic elements, including the retina. Again, this design was because the main purpose of this model is to show prosthetic restoration. Finally, plexiglass labels engraved with general information about prosthetic eyes were affixed to the display's base. The model's flat, smooth surfaces make it easy to disinfect. A figure shows some of the steps in fabricating the model. Conclusion. Eye care providers, including ophthalmologists and ocularists, need specialized educational materials to enhance understanding in patients who are candidates for eye removal. These patients' concerns include the medical procedure, eye replacement, and post-surgical appearance. The eye model described in this article illustrates the messages ocularists regularly give patients, including 1. You do not have to wear a patch. 2. Your eye will be replaced with an ocular implant that moves in a realistic way. 3. Your custom ocular prosthesis will resemble your other eye, balancing your facial appearance. 4. 1 month after your surgery, your custom artificial eye will be delivered. 5. The prosthetic eye is durable and needs minimal care. The materials readily available in an ocularist's office and used to make this model emphasize that ocularistry is an art. This model helps reassure patients that their prosthetic eye will be attractive, comfortable, and the model, which is designed for discussion with patients and family members, includes elements that prompt disclosure of concerns and fears about eye loss and help demonstrate prosthetic eye care, for instance, wiping the eye, and reassure patients, for instance, photos of patients with prosthetic eyes illustrate the natural appearance of a custom prosthesis. Ocularists play a unique role in rehabilitating patients after eye loss. They are often part of highly personal discussions and spend a great deal of time working close to patients in a wounded area of the anatomy. Patient educational tools to facilitate discussion, improve learning, and inspire confidence can be valuable in this setting. The model can be taken apart and put back together easily using its internal magnets, and the display includes written descriptions of each graphic element. An additional feature is that the ocular implant and prosthetic eye samples are actual size, allowing patients and families to handle items similar to what they will be using daily. Finally, the model was designed in a size and shape that fit easily on an office desktop or bookshelf, and it can be dismantled for convenient storage. For construction diagrams and specifications for the model, visit the American Society of Ocularists website at www.ocularist.org. Acknowledgements. Great appreciation is given to Craig Luce, Thomas Marsh, and Elizabeth Hughes, who provided artistic skills in this collaborative project. Special thanks to Mr. Richard Keeler, curator for the Royal College of Ophthalmologists, for his interest and assistance with a few of the images and the text for this article, and to the British Journal of Ophthalmology for permission to reprint the July 2008 and September 2008 cover photographs. The photograph in Figure 3 is used by permission from the University of Iowa Department of Ophthalmology and Mary Lee Hoganson. Special note, the model described in this paper and shown in Figure 1 was presented at the 75th Annual Meeting of the Association of Medical Illustrators in Baltimore, Maryland, July 2011, in the three-dimensional division of the AMI Salon. Correspondence should be sent to Michael O. Hughes, BCO, Artificial Eye Clinic of Washington, D.C., 307B Maple Avenue West, Vienna, Virginia,